Oh yeah, there's that theme music. Oh, getting psyched. Oh man, they're back. What is it about this song that just gets me hype? Oh man, I wish it would just kick in. Come on. Hell yeah.
Don't you want Dungeon Rats? Dungeon Rats.
Hey, Carlos here. Welcome to the first episode of Season 3. Actually, is it the first episode? It's Episode 0. It's Episode 0 of Season 3. It's a lore drop. Lore drops are actually my favorite episode that we do because it kind of sets up the entire world and you can see the history in it. And it just reminds me of Dan Carlin's hardcore history. We're going to get started here in a second, but I just want to make a couple announcements. Announcement number one. We will be streaming the first live session for Season 3 on Tuesday, November 13th on Twitch. That's a mouthful. We're actually going to be streaming all of our play sessions live on Twitch. So if you're interested in seeing us play the game live in real time, go to www. I don't know why I said www. Everyone knows it's the internet. Go to twitch.tv/thedungeonrats. Right now, we're planning on streaming every other Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. So if you want to see us live, check us out. Also, we have a live show coming up on Monday, November 26th at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time at the Beat Kitchen in Chicago. So if you're in Chicago, come to that show. Hang out. Watch the live show. Anyways, I'm really excited to start Season 3. New world, new characters, and we're hoping to release 4 episodes a month instead of 2. Anyways, enough of me talking, let's get to the lore drop.
In the beginning of civilization, the god Mao Lu needed a place to keep his pets. He had tried to keep them among the people, but they ended up either dead or decimating infant societies. The other gods were upset they could not expand life on the realm. So, in order to keep his collection of pets, Mao Lu created the island, Tenmar. The island is unique in many ways, as there are dedicated areas that replicate every known climate, because Malu's pets were of all makes. He was fascinated by the construction of life. He collected every type of creature imaginable. Malu did not care if they were kind or evil, nor did he want to hurt anyone. So no matter what he found, he added them to his island, cared for them, and treated them as though they were special. One of his pets were unique. They resembled that of a modern wild boar, with thick gray hair and a long mane. But this pet was much larger, about 300 feet long and 100 feet high, known now to the people as the Christos. The Christos was not only large in size, but also one of the smartest beasts on the island. She quickly became the de facto leader when Mao Lu was away. She scared the other creatures by outwitting them and overpowering them. Sometimes the Christos would get bored, so she changed the surface of the island greatly. She pushed dirt late into the night and created the mountains that line the northern part of the island, as well as dug expansive caverns underground. Over time, the Christos became resentful of Mao Lu, as Mao Lu essentially made her a prisoner. She wanted to be free, and she told him so. Yet Mao Lu was unable to comply. She was far too dangerous of a creature to live among the new societies that were forming around the world. This angered the Christos greatly, and in a moment of rage, she devoured Mao Lu, leaving her to be the sole leader of the island. After the disappearance of Mao Lu, no new creatures were being brought to Tenmar, and no one was keeping them separate. So they began to breed and propagate different territories of the island. It was during this time the Christos had two children. One from when she was a partner with a giant snake, the other from a giant hawk. History does not know what happened to these children's fathers, but one can assume that breeding with the Christos was a dangerous exploit. Her two children, Tarmin, a giant snake with a long gray mane, and Torin, a flightless hawk with four legs and massive talons. Both had exceptional power, yet they hated each other greatly. They fought day and night. The Christos did not want to see her children destroy each other, so she created a river that spanned from the mountains in the north all the way to the southern tip of the island, thereby dividing it in half. One sibling stayed to the west, and the other to the east. Over time, the Christos grew old. When it was her time to die, she laid herself in the river she made for her children, so they could both come and say their goodbyes. She pleads with them to love each other, for the only way they could ever escape this island is to work together. If they were to fight, they would be here forever. Then she died. The Tarmin and Torin parted ways and left each other alone. And for a few months, there was a calm peace on the island. But as her corpse lay in the water, the raging current broke apart the body of the Christos, revealing the god, Mao Lu, who seemingly just woke up from a long sleep. He was furious for being trapped inside the Christos for so long. So, in a moment of rage, he hunted down her children and killed them as they slept, leaving Torin to die near the mountains in the north, and Tarmin near the tributary in the south. Mao Lu was saddened by the actions he had to take, so he decided to leave and never return. He left his island to the Council of Guardians, a select group of chosen protectors who live across the world. Now, Mao Lu created and collected all kinds of creatures, some of them humanoid. These creatures hid for centuries in the mountains, for the land of the island was far too dangerous. But after the death of the two siblings, their bodies became the foundation of protection. They used their bones as walls to protect themselves from the evil that lurks on the island. two completely independent societies began to form, one within the body of each sibling. The people who descended from the mountain to pillage the body of Toruin quickly discovered that this land was special. They were able to use his giant ribcage as a fortress to protect their most vital resources. They used this as their home base to keep themselves safe from the other dangerous creatures who wandered the land. They quickly engineered additional walls around the body so they could continue to take their resources from the mountain and store them close to the river water. As they did so, they developed tools that could be used to defend themselves, as well as dig deep into the side of the mountain to continue to be able to grow strong. It was a community built on strength and grit. Living conditions were especially hard in this kingdom, so people relied on the militarized government to provide stability. The only way to become a leader was through merit and results in either the mines or the open lands of the island. An imperial commander was appointed by territory leaders, and they were trusted to protect every aspect of their society. On the other hand, the people who first settled in Tarmin had to travel a great distance and were able to develop advanced tools for traveling down the river along their journey. As they did, they came across many creatures, some of which they treated as friends, and some of which were enemies. By the time they arrived, the body of Tarmin had been picked clean, revealing their long and narrow skeleton. This is where the citizens first set up camp and eventually settled. Similar to the others in the north, the body served as a safe haven from the rest of the island. This long, narrow encampment would soon be known as the Great Corridor, and where all of the kingdom's residents store their knowledge of the island and beyond. During this time, the kingdom developed a unicameral democracy, but most of the leaders came from families with significant resources. They believed that wealth and prosperity was indicative of a successful life. Now, after 1,200 years of developing in complete isolation from one another, these two kingdoms had evolved into two distinct societies. The inevitable eventually happened, and the two cultures met on the Matrana River. The Toruin were building watchtowers down the river, and the Tarmin were seeking new ways through the land. Once these two kingdoms met, it was clear that they were not enemies, yet they were far from friends. The Toruin built a powerful military and developed weapons so they could defend their home against the mightiest of foes, whereas the Tarmin took to the ocean, became increasingly proficient in developing modes of transportation and communication. They were the first to encounter strangers from other lands and establish trade routes to the island. The two kingdoms decided it was best to work together, and a symbiotic relationship was formed. Toruin would mine the mountains and refine their powerful tool-making abilities. The Tarmin would establish trade routes to bring in magic items and knowledge that can maintain the island's environment while protecting its people. There is a shared respect for one another, yet they both also believe that they offer the bigger benefit to the other. Yet they need one another more than they know. For when Maolu left the island, he decided he would never allow any single entity to take it over again. This is what led to its downfall and his most major mistake. If any beast were to become too powerful, it is the Council of Guardians' responsibility to bring balance back to the island. And if you are one of the chosen few who are listening to this message, you are a member of the Council. You are what will keep the island together and prevent it from spilling over into the rest of the world, or perhaps destroying itself. You must submit the monsters, plot twists, magic items, and anything else you can think of to maintain balance on this island. It can shift at any given moment, but with you in control of Tenmar, Malu's legacy will live on. Now, before I return to my camp, I ask you one thing. Please, do not abuse your power, or you may invoke Malu's temper and lose more than we can even imagine. For when we stand together, the island stands with us.